The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is fueled by Cody Rhodes and recorded in the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Studio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Title IX podcast on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. The entire Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is fueled by Cody Road and possible thanks to our friends at the Wild Rose Casino and Resort. Hey, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. This is episode 92. She's Elisa Woods. I'm Steph Copley. If you don't know us by now, where the hell have you been?
Welcome.
Also welcome. Also welcome. We need to give our friends at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State a shout out because they sponsor this pod week in and week out. And we're so grateful that for them. I mentioned this before, but they have a very fun Twitter feed for a school of business. Okay. And I saw this past week, they had a tweet about it was intended for students. It says, do you have a business idea or business that you're working on? On February 15th, the College by College pitch off is back and here to help secure funding to push your business idea to the next level. It's like Shark Tank for college.
I love it.
So
that sounds super fun.
It does sound super fun. It actually made me think of you and, you know, if college you would have been interested in a small bakery back then and you could pitch it. But if that's you, if you're listening, if you're an Iowa State student, whether you're Ivy student or not, check that out. I think it's what a cool idea.
Yeah.
So I think
we've done it before.
I think they have.
I'd be curious to hear what like won from it.
And if it ever took off. I'm always curious about that in the Shark Tank shows. Occasionally you'll see the products in the stores, but not often. Yeah, it's interesting.
Squatty potty.
Squatty potty. I don't know.
About the squatty potty?
No.
It's literally just like a little like bench that you put your feet on while you're pooping, and it puts your like butthole in just the right
angle.
To like poop without like stressing out. Didn't know 2 minutes and 10 seconds into this, Elisa was going to be talking about buttholes.
Gosh, Elisa, take it easy. Even your enunciation made me uncomfortable.
I'm sorry. I will call them buttholes now.
Thank you. That's much better. It's way less offensive. Okay. You keep interrupting me when I'm trying
to give
the big news of the podcast, which is NASCAR is back, baby.
Oh, well, I wish I would have interrupted you again.
They had their first exhibition race, their only exhibition race on Sunday. And then the Daytona 500 comes around the corner in 2 weeks.
What makes it an exhibition?
It doesn't count.
They're not racing it against their own conference or what?
It's the non-con of the NASCAR season. It doesn't count for points. So the playoffs and championship are based on points. Okay. And this doesn't have any point implications. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just kind of, you know.
Yeah, I saw that you want to be the one that says,
drivers,
gentlemen,
start your engine.
I feel like you could do it.
I would, but I wouldn't say gentlemen. I'd say drivers because there could be a lady driver.
Gentle ladies.
Madams. Okay, but seriously, the big news of the week is that it's Super Bowl week. And as we've done in years past, Elisa, I'm going to sprinkle some Super Bowl trivia throughout the episode.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am. And I've been watching. There's this guy on Instagram that I've been watching who he like quizzes people on the street about sports knowledge. And he had like four women on the other day that didn't even know who Jimmy Garoppolo was. And I was like, y'all.
But that's interesting.
I think they did know who Brock Purdy was.
Where were they from?
I'm not really sure.
Jimmy Garoppolo is a decent looking quarterback too. So right. I feel like if they were going to know anyone, it might be one that, and I'm stereotyping, but if someone doesn't know anything about sports, usually they know the ones who knew
Joe Burrow. So I wonder if, I wonder if they're in Louisiana or something.
Interesting. All right. Well, now it's my turn to do this to you.
Okay.
First trivia question of the pod. How much does the Lombardi Trophy weigh?
Way. Oh, okay. Well, I'm thinking about Tom Brady chucking it to Gronk.
One of my favorite moments ever.
And I'm like trying to calculate the trajectory and the...
The trajectory?
Yeah.
The trajectory?
Yeah. And the trajectory. And the gradient of the drop. And square that.
Uh-huh.
And I think
multiply
around...
Multiply it times the...
Yeah.
Exponential.
I'm
going to
say 64 pounds.
You're slightly off.
I'm going to say 32 pounds.
7 pounds.
What?
Which made the toss way less impressive. I know.
What?
I know. That's okay. What it said. I checked this on a couple of different websites too. But
what?
I know.
Okay.
But it's not encrusted in, you know, like diamonds, like that silly bowl trophy that was worth like $40 million, 7 pounds.
What is it made out of? Tin foil? It's made out of plastic. The damn thing's made out of plastic. It's styrofoam.
It's like the cakes. It's like the wedding cakes that aren't cake. They're just styrofoam. Maybe it's fondant.
I'm going to weigh my next cake because I think my cakes weigh more than 7.
I'm certain they do. I've carried those cakes.
I know. They're heavy.
Yeah. So there you go. I blew your mind.
Oh my gosh. That did blow my mind.
I know. It blew mine too. It really did.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
All right. Well, that's it for the pod today.
All right. Go State.
All right. Let's talk about something that neither of us want to talk about. Actually, before we do that, it's going to be one of those nights, huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
Before we talk about the thing we don't want to talk about, I do want to talk about one little shining star. Her name is Audie Crooks. Have you heard of her?
Ugh.
She had quite the night on Friday.
She lost her maybe it was 57,000 followers on Twitter, and she lost her account.
Yeah.
But I think that she got the account back, but doesn't have the followers anymore because I think that they gave her at least the name back.
Well, she's going to that follow count's going to boost right up when she becomes a Cyclone. Friday, she had 50 points. She shot 76% from the field, and she sang the national anthem.
Right. I forgot that little fact. I want to hear her sing.
And you know what? It was like this. We oftentimes, I think, you know, you put these athletes on this pedestal in our minds. And I started thinking, like, I was a high school kid who sang the national anthem, and I remember
being,
but I was a kid. Like, she's still a kid. Yeah. I told you.
I'm sorry, what?
I told you when I did the Robert.
You told me.
Stop a second. Let me tell you this. When I told you, when I did the Robert Goulet, I told you I made Allstate choir twice. I used to be a good singer. And then I started doing Robert Goulet and ruined my voice.
I ruined your voice.
And the rest is history. It's Title IX lore.
Steph, yeah. How do we get you to sing it at a women's game, maybe?
No.
Oh.
Like, not that good of singing.
Okay.
I sang in choirs. Like,
let me pull a few strings.
I don't sing anymore unless I'm impersonating Robert Goulet. I'll sing as Robert Goulet.
No, I will be there at the game.
My point in all of this is she's still a high school kid, but she's putting up 50 burgers. Like, oh, I just, gosh. It's hard for me to put this like beast of an athlete in the same category as a high schooler. You know what I mean? Like, it was just one of those, oh my God, she's still a kid moments. And I'm pumped. I'm so pumped for her and her future holds.
I'm very excited for her to come. She liked one of my tweets. Oh, so,
well,
I've made it.
You're besties.
I've made it.
Okay, let's talk about the Iowa State women. This is the piece we neither of us wanted to talk about. They're in a little bit of a skid right now. They lost at K-State last week and then Baylor at home. And Lisa, I'm going to be honest with you. I am a little concerned. And if you've been listening to the last few episodes of the pod, you've heard our concern growing. It really started pre-Stephanie Suarez getting injured. Just we didn't feel like things were quite clicking, but that was understandable. She's brand new piece of a very important piece of this puzzle, but then she gets hurt and you know what? You have to reconfigure everything. So I think you and I gave them a grace period, I would say, to kind of get things in check and reconfigure the offense. And to be honest with you, nothing has really changed since she went out. And the words that come to my mind when I think of the offense right now are stagnant and stale.
Yep.
And if you know us, you know we love this program. So it legitimately hurts me to be critical of them or the staff. Like, it hurts. But if the men were struggling like this on offense and doing what the women are doing, I'd be pissed and I'd be critical. And so I think the fair thing to do is to be critical.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what's going on.
I think that one of the more glaring things that I saw in the Baylor game was that Nye was having a night.
Oh, and then she had a hell of a night.
And then all of a sudden, she's not getting any plays.
Yeah.
And it's like, I told you this the other day, like I was looking at like Iowa's box score and how Caitlin scores a bajillion points. And then maybe one other person scores in double digits. And then everyone else is like three or four. So it's like that extent is not like sustainable. Even for her, like she can't win every game by herself. Like there needs to be some like sharing a little bit. And then I look at ours and like Ashley will be in the 20s, but it's like, or 30s, or, and then everyone else is kind of like 12 or 13. And I was like kind of proud of that. And then I watched that Baylor game and I was like, do we share the ball like to our detriment instead of like leaning on that hot hand? Mm-hmm. And I think that like Ashley tries to win these games by herself when it's like, Nye could have helped you win that game. Yep. You have to look for her. And I think that like, I don't know Ashley's like assist stats, but I would love to see them double. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think that she, or I think that her first instinct is score.
Yes.
Which is fine. But I think that's like her first, second, and third instinct.
She had, I looked at her assist. She's averaging 1.9 assists per game.
So
now she's not a guard. So we got to give her, however, the offense goes through her essentially every play. And a lot of times what happens, particularly when we're down or when we get in a bind, what happens is the ball comes to her down in the post and she forces something up. To give her credit, she makes a lot of circus shots, things that go in where I'm like, how did she possibly do that? But a lot of times she gets stuffed or knocked to the floor. And you're right. When you have a hot hand like Nye or maybe a, you know, Danae or maybe a different game, it's Emily, whoever it might be, that's got to be the play.
Right. And it feels like Ashley was getting that call early on when she falls to the floor, but it almost feels like these refs are saying like, oh, she's flopping.
Yeah.
When it's like some, like she's not necessarily flopping to flop. It's just like, she just doesn't get her feet back under her after she goes up.
Yeah. She goes down a lot. She goes down a lot.
And there's physical play down there in the post and she has the ball a lot. And so it makes sense.
And she's often outsized down low.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, and I think like her best play isn't necessarily the posting up.
It's I agree.
Starting from, you know, the top of the key. It's the starting from, you know, the high post, something like that, like moving off a screen.
And we've seen her 3-point shot has developed significantly since last year. And I wish we could use her in a different way.
Yeah.
And it feels like our half court offense is stuck. There's a lot of Emily Ryan dribbling around a lot.
Yeah.
It looks outdated. The way she, she's being coached to do this. I think the way she dribbles kind of like backwards, like butt first into the defense. That's stuff that, man, we were doing in high school.
Right.
And I think that's stuff that worked before really high level guard play, but the game has evolved in the last 10, 15 years. And you have guards like Emily Ryan and Lexi Donarski who are way more skilled than that. And this dribbling and stopping and then just kind of standing around, it's not working. And it might work when we're shooting lights out from three, but we're not. We went 8 of 22 against K-State, 4 of 12 against Baylor. We're shooting 32% on the season, which isn't horrific, but when you're living and dying on that, that's not going to do it.
Right. And it's like when Ashley gets that ball down low and it sucks in that defense and she puts it on the ground.
Yeah.
Like there's just hands down there.
Yeah.
But it's like, and it's not the person who's guarding you's hands. It's someone else's hands. And that somebody else needs to move and needs to move to a different location and be open for that in and out pass.
Yeah.
And that's just not happening. And that's how, like, that's how you spread the floor a little bit. You do that in and out pass a couple times. And then all of a sudden those guards who are guarding our guards, don't want to come down and guard Ashley, because it's like, well, I'd rather give up the two to Ashley than the three to Lexi, you know? So I like, you have to spread out the floor a little bit. There has to be more passing, less dribbling,
and more off the ball movement. There is, I mean, if you watch our half court offense, it's standing. I'm not exaggerating. We have perimeter players standing when they're not with the ball in their hands.
Right.
And it's stagnant. And there was a play during the men's game against Kansas that's kind of going on around on Twitter where there was this insane ball movement. It was fast. And I just kept thinking, if we could do, it doesn't even need to be that complicated. Just you got to get some movement going.
Right. I think just like in the post, in like low block, there's no reason to bounce the ball more than twice at all.
Yeah.
And like, cause you're not going anywhere. If you're bouncing the ball, if you're dribbling and you're not moving anywhere, what are you doing?
Except setting yourself up for a turnover.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, we don't have a true big. That was the downfall last year. Obviously that's the downfall this year.
Yeah.
And you get Ashley down there, you get Nye down there, less so this year, you get Morgan Kane down there. I don't know where Izzy is. I don't know. She hasn't played in two games, but and I get it, but she's at least a place. She's a decoy for a little bit. Like
the game where she had a lot of points, she kind of just started like
throwing.
And this is how I played. You just start like throwing hook shots up.
Yeah.
It's just like throwing it up and hoping it goes in. And she got lucky and a lot of them went in, but like she needs to work on her square up, turn around.
Footwork.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
even that, like in and out, but she's not looking, she's looking at the ground, you know, at the basket. You have to, in the post, you have to be able to see the floor. And I think that that's where, like, everyone is so thirsty for that steal down there. Yeah. That's why. And we're so good at three pointers.
Yeah. But that's my thing is I don't know that we are. I don't know that we are. And if we're going to continue this, if that's going to be our offense, this in and out, which maybe that's the best we can do, then we have to start shooting threes better.
Right.
Or if we're going to continue to shoot at a decent clip, we also have to figure out a way to get some movement so you can steal an easy bucket here and there.
Yeah.
Because that's right now it's three pointers. And I mean, it's okay. Some nights it's not going to be okay every night. And I don't know. I just think there's a way. We have enough talent on this team that we shouldn't have to rely on Ashley forcing stuff down low or shooting threes after we dribble the shot clock down to 10 seconds. There's something in the middle there. There is. I just, and you know, like clearly Coach Fennelly is he's a legend at Iowa State, but the offense of years past doesn't quite fit this squad for whatever reason.
Right. I think stagnant is a good word because it's like we have the talent
for sure.
Like we have the attitude.
I don't even know if we have attitude though. There's no alpha.
I think that it's there. I think that like
is it just waiting to be broken.
Open, I would like to see Danae Same get there here. At some point, but that's going to take for Danae to step up and be that person is going to take some people leaving.
You're probably right.
Going to happen in the next 2 years.
It's interesting, Lisa. That's a great point because we've seen Danae with a little bit of trash talk a couple of times, yeah. And I'm like, hell yeah, we need more of that attitude. Yeah. Now Nye showed a little bit of it, yep, against Baylor. She was pumping her fist. She was shit. You know, she was. We need more of that.
Yeah.
So much more of that. We need, yeah, less of the, I feel like a broken record. We say this every other week when we do the pod, we need the alpha and we need someone to step up and say, no more stagnant, no more regression. We are moving forward. We are growing and we're on the up and up.
Yeah.
And I don't know who that's going to be. Unfortunately,
this is the team that came in as freshmen, and we were so excited, yeah, about this group of freshmen.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that was a detriment. I wonder if not having somebody to show them how to be the alpha, that leader, I wonder if that hurt us.
Maybe. But there's I mean, Ashley's never been that emotional leader. You know, she's, right, very well, she's measured, she's well controlled. And I, at this point, I don't anticipate seeing that from her all of a sudden. Yeah. I see flashes of it from Danae. She's young though. I mean, she's super young on the squad. I see flashes of it from Nye. I just don't think Nye's quite consistent enough yet.
Yeah.
It really needs to come from Emily and Lexi, I think.
Okay.
But
that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, they're floor leaders, so yeah, they need to be emotional leaders too.
And they can, I feel like we know, you and I know that they could do that.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying is like that we have the ability.
It just needs to come out.
Happening.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not that easy. Like there's so many things that like, I'm like, I need to be doing this. I just don't like, I have the ability to do it. I'm just choosing, like, it's not even that I'm choosing, it's just not oozing out of my pores. Yeah. It's just not happening. My body's just not functioning in that, yeah, way.
And it's interesting with this women's program, people don't want to be critical because of all of the great success and the tradition and the history, and I get it, it's hard for me to be critical too, but I think, yeah, with the expectations of this team now, things changed a little bit after Stephanie went down. I'm not denying that at all, but right, I think at this point it's fair to be critical. And I feel like I have to say this because this is the world we live in. That's not to say I'm not appreciative of everything that this squad does, of who they, right, are, of the staff. That's not it at all. I'm a little bit disappointed thus, yeah, far.
Honestly, like they may be one of my favorite teams.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
I know. From a personnel standpoint, yeah, like they're fantastic and they're, yeah, good humans on top of, yeah, it all. And that's one thing this program always does is they make us love them. Like they're easy to love, but
yeah. So yeah, let me pose this then. Is that okay to have a disappointing season when we absolutely love these girls?
Is that okay?
Acceptable? As sports, yeah, fans, is that, I mean, acceptable?
Think of it as your kids. You still love them even though you're disappointed at them sometimes.
Yeah.
It's acceptable, but I mean, in sports, I'm not suggesting this is a pattern necessarily, but if we go 5 seasons where expectations are high and we're still underachieving, then yeah, that's a problem.
Okay.
But I don't know. I was disappointed with how last season ended. I don't know that it was an underachievement necessarily.
Yeah.
If we go out in the round of 32 this year, that's an underachievement.
Right. Here's another thing though. What's more important, how we do in the NCAA tournament or how we do during the season as a whole?
I think both.
Okay.
Yeah, I think both.
Okay.
So we'll see. Right now,
if one of the two falters, then it's a disappointment.
No, I think they go. I think you have to measure them both. So, for example, okay, if we had a really disappointing, if we ended up, you know, losing half of the remaining conference games, I'd be disappointed. But if we go make the Elite Eight, I'm going to say, okay, you know, that was a bummer of a regular season, but I think a successful postseason.
Yeah,
I think that all weighs into it.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. I mean, it's a difficult. That's, you know, that's a difficult decision or things that the administration has to consider, but yeah, long way that's away from now.
That's why I ask you. So you don't ask me first.
I think people remember how a team finishes in March more because that's where the trophy lies. Yeah. But as you know, as diehard fans, the ride is part of the fun. So if it's brutal, then it's more disappointing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. But right now it just kind of feels a little icky.
I feel you.
All right. I have more trivia for you.
Okay.
According to WalletHub, what is the average cost or what was the average cost of a ticket to the Super Bowl over the past five seasons? If you're within $500, I'll give you the win.
I would say over the average over the past five seasons, $3,400. Dang it.
63. Yeah. 6,300, which is just asinine. Like, what are we doing?
I thought I heard that it was 50 something this year.
The average 50 grand.
No, or five. It was
5,000 and change.
Yeah.
That would make sense. I mean, this is the,
maybe it was higher last year or something. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
The year after COVID, probably a little higher.
Yes. Okay. We'll keep going with more trivia as we go. I want to get back to women's basketball, not Iowa State. Yesterday afternoon, we had a great matchup between number one, South Carolina and number five, UConn. It was a highlight game on Fox. It was awesome to see it broadcast there. South Carolina pulled out the victory 81-77, but I had a lot of thoughts that were spawned from this game. So UConn was within striking distance with 4 minutes left of the game. They were down 65-59. They have the ball. It's their offensive possession. And out of nowhere, Gino throws a water bottle onto the court during the play. And the official looks at him like, are you serious? And he gets teed up. And not only does South Carolina go and convert both free throws, but they score on their possession. So it bumps the lead up to 10 with 4 minutes left. And I will go to my grave saying he lost them that game in that moment. Yeah. Not only was a point shift, but he totally, the momentum of the bench, their mood just went like total deflated.
I heard him in his post game interview saying like, you should see her and the bruises she has on her body. He's like, I kept my mouth shut the whole game, but like she was being abused the whole game and nobody said anything. Like nobody did anything about it. And I like watched the play real close and it's just like her trying to
fight. Alisa, I watched the play and I was like, what are you talking about, Gino? It was a physical game, but that particular play, it came out of nowhere.
I know.
It was interesting.
And it was just kind of like somebody trying to fight over a screen. It wasn't necessarily
there was nothing dirty about it.
Super egregious. Yeah.
And I know this doesn't necessarily tell the whole story, but it was an evenly officiated game. So it was kind of like, I don't know. It was weird. He threw a hissy fit for sure. And then you have Dawn Staley on the other end, who is just swag through and through. What a badass. She's wearing her Philadelphia Eagles hoodie because she's from Philly. And I was just thinking about, you've got Gino, who's kind of the old guard. And then you've got Dawn, who is continually pushing the envelope and, you know, for progressing women's sports and women's equality. And not only is she an ally that way, but she's a brand in herself. She's constantly figuring out a way to promote women and promote herself at the same time. And I think she's great.
Me too.
Aaliyah Boston should not be the player of the year this year.
Yeah.
She had 26 points yesterday, 11 rebounds, really solid game. But I went back to her stats. She's averaging 13.5 points a game, 10 rebounds. It's fine. It's fine, but she's only in the conversation because of last year and who she plays for.
Yeah.
She's not, I don't know.
I mean, averaging a double-double.
Yeah, but you then have Caitlin Clark, who's averaging 27.5 points a game, 8 rebounds, and more than 8 assists.
Yeah.
And I just don't think there's a conversation. And I will eat crow here because I thought at the beginning of the season, I was not super impressed with Caitlin Clark. I thought she had regressed a little bit. I thought she was forcing stuff. She was throwing up just a shit ton of shots. Her passing wasn't crisp. but she has turned it around. She still takes a lot of shots, but she's shooting like 50%. That 8 assists per game is second in the country. Over the weekend, she had her 9th career triple-double. I don't know. I don't know how she's not the player of the year.
I'm going to have to give this one to you because I don't watch her play.
You should watch her play.
I have no interest in watching Iowa play. Like, less than no interest.
Here's the thing, though. Play. Like, if they weren't Iowa, they are cruising. And you would have fun watching them if they weren't Iowa. But that's
the thing is, if they weren't Iowa, like...
I guess I'm able to set... I appreciate it. I do. Yeah. I just love women's basketball so much that when they're on, I'm like, oh, hell yeah. And my girls hate Iowa. And they'll watch it, too.
Yeah.
And
maybe you're a better women's basketball fan than I am. Because I just bleeping hate Iowa. And I don't even want to see their colors on the TV. Like,
I get it.
And I really don't even want to be that good of friends with people who are Iowa fans. I have like 2 friends that are Iowa fans and I'm always just like, ugh, how?
Yeah.
How did Iowa spawn you? I don't understand because you're good people, but Iowa, ugh. No interest in it. And I think that their fans are rude and I just don't like them. So I'm not going to watch Caitlin Clark and I don't care. I'm not going to go to Wolves game because Luca and what's his face? J-Bo are playing. I love the Wolves. I would love to go and take my daughter to a Wolves game. I don't want to hear about Luca and J-Bo. I just don't. Like, that's they fine. Make me like...
That's fine. I appreciate all of this. But I said it last year. I thought Aaliyah Boston deserved it over Caitlin. I really did. And I thought that there was a very good case why Aaliyah Boston deserved it. This year, I think it is entirely flipped. I think there's no question about it. And I don't know how Aaliyah Boston's still in the conversation because Caitlin Clark is freaking cruising. Monica Sonano is cruising. They have a huge game against Indiana, number 4 Indiana. I think Iowa's at number 5 this week. That's on Thursday. So I just think that they could make a serious run in the postseason, the tournament. Mm-hmm. And or I don't know.
Could beat them.
Creighton is the thorn in all of our sides.
Creighton could hold Caitlin to 15 and beat them. So
could be. Maybe. All right. Next trivia. Why does the NFL use Roman numerals to identify the Super Bowl?
Because it shows up in the phone book before the numbers. Don't think letters show up. Because it probably has to do with like internet SEO, you know?
No.
That's what they decided.
This is why, weirdly, pre-internet, weirdly. Yeah. The former owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, Lamar Hunt, came up with the idea because NFL officials wanted to avoid confusion, given that the actual championship game is played the year after the corresponding football season. So it's not going to be Super Bowl 2023 because that corresponds with, yeah. Which makes sense, but no one knows how to do Roman numerals anymore. So yeah. I feel like why don't we just call it Super Bowl 71, 72?
I overheard somebody explaining a basketball season as like the 21-22 season. Mm-hmm. And somebody who doesn't watch basketball was like, well, which was it? The 21 or 22? And they're like, no, it was the 21-22 season.
It does get confusing, to be fair. Yeah. All right. Well, the more you know.
That's good. I like that one.
All right, let's take a quick break. But before we do, I want to give a shout out to our friend Hope Wood. I actually saw Hope at Hope Wood at the We Will event last week, and she reminded me that she's been advertising with us for about a year. So Hope, we are glad to still have you here. We hope you stay with us. Hope does the Will in a Day program. You can find it at hopewoodjd.com. It's super easy, super efficient, takes less than an afternoon. And if you use the promotion Fanatic, you'll get $50 off the Will in a Day program at hopewoodjd.com. We are brought to you by Authentic Brand. Authentic Brand is more than just your source for official Cyclone gear. With an amazing team of designers, Authentic Brand can custom manufacture polo shirts, jackets, caps, bags, and beyond for your team or small business. Check them out online at authentic-brand.com. Look authentic, feel authentic, be authentic. All right, Elisa, for the second half of the pod, more trivia!
Yay!
Teams get around 150 Super Bowl rings. What is the rough cost for a total set of 150 rings. Hint, it's more than 7 pounds.
Wait, what?
I'm just messing with you. It's the I'm asking for the cost of 150 Super Bowl rings.
You confused me there. Okay, the cost of how many? Let me do some math.
150.
150 times how much do I think that a Super Bowl ring is worth? Oh, that's a lot of diamonds. How many diamonds are, is it always encrusted with diamonds or are they crystals?
I assume they're diamonds.
Okay. I'm going to say,
I got to wear one once. Thanks to my friend, Brad at the Chiefs.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was about the size of the girl's hand.
1.8 million. Nope. Am I way over or way under?
Way under.
Wow. 3.6 million?
$5 million.
Wow. So, okay. So then 500,000 divided by 150. So there are $33,000, $333.33 each.
I think those are real diamonds. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a car.
I mean, yeah, that's a good chunk of a yearly salary for a lot of people.
Four of my cars. Probably more than four of my cars. Oh.
Yeah. Sports, am I right?
How many macarons would I have to sell?
A couple. Do you see Cyclone Tennis?
Yeah. Okay. You told me that they're on a roll.
They are on a record breaking roll. Okay. So January 28th, they go to this tournament. They beat number 18 UCLA. That was at the time the highest ranked win in program history. The next day, they go out and beat number 10 Miami, which marked the obviously back to back wins against top 20 ranked opponents. So we go from number 24 in the country to number 14. Right after those wins, which is our highest ranking in school history. And on top of that, we punched our ticket to the ITA National Team Indoor Championships, which are later this week. So that program has turned it around. One of those programs that was just kind of there and very unsuccessful to suddenly number 14 in the country for indoor tennis.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I feel like you are the tennis girl. Between the two of us,
I do like professional tennis.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean. I just
professional tennis. Yeah,
I have never. It was not ever something that I paid attention to. But man, this is going to give me a reason to pay attention to it.
The Australian Open was on not too long ago, and it was throwing me off because the games were like
nighttime,
but it was daytime there. Right. I was like, whoa. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I heard that they're in the future in Australia.
I mean, kind of.
Wish they could have warned us about a couple things, but whatevs.
So if you're not paying attention to Cyclone Tennis, now is the time. Hop on that bandwagon.
And how would be the best way for us to? Like, how do you? On their honestly, Twitter?
Yeah, their Twitter's really good.
Yeah.
And they do a good job of posting these records, but also making it very user-friendly for someone like me who doesn't really understand the format of a lot of these tournaments. So their social media team does a great job, a really great job. Yeah. Speaking of social media teams, that was an amazing transition that you didn't even mean to do. According to Skull Sports, which compiles and shares college athletic social media analytics, Iowa State generated the 8th largest increase in interactions on the official team social accounts for volleyball in 2022.
Oh, excellent.
So that includes Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. They netted an additional 66,000 impressions compared to the year prior. And this is crazy to me. I was like, all right, 66,000, that's a lot. Texas netted 1.7 million additional impressions.
Wow.
And Purdue was just behind them with 1.6. But I mean, it kind of makes sense. Texas is your national champion. They're kind of the brand when it comes to college volleyball at this point. But it matters right now.
Wisconsin isn't in there?
Let me look.
Wisconsin won it 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah, but
this
was just net increase from the year prior. So one, two, three were Texas, Purdue, and Georgia. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Sorry, Georgia Tech.
Okay.
So it's just proof that that social media team stuff really matters. Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned, how can we pay attention to Cyclone Tennis? I think their Twitter is probably the best place to do it right now. So pay attention.
Yeah. I figured. I just wanted to give that little plug.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Trivia time. Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew. How much was Beyonce? How much was Beyonce? How much was Beyonce, Queen B, paid for her 2013 Super Bowl halftime appearance?
Aren't they not paid?
You got it. That was a trick question.
I'm like, wait a minute.
The NFL does not pay an appearance fee. However, no. They do cover all expenses related to the performance, like security, stage, lighting, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Nice, Alisa.
Because I had heard that that's why Rihanna turned it down a while back.
Oh, but she's this year, right?
Yes. Okay. I think it was the year that Katy Perry ended up doing it. I want to say
horrific.
This could all be not true at all. But I thought that Rihanna was like, y'all not going to pay me? No, thanks.
That Katy Perry one was bad.
Yeah.
Oh, the stupid shark.
left shark.
Right. So over the weekend, I was perusing Twitter and I saw a clip of Suni Lee doing her amazing bar.
Perfect 10?
Yeah, she got a perfect 10. And I just started thinking,
perfect 10s.
Did she really? I just saw her beam one. Why the hell is collegiate gymnastics not on TV more often? Because these clips go viral. Viral, and they're amazing performances in sold out arenas. Like
the first year, right? So this is okay. Sit down.
Sitting.
So this is the first year that I think that Olympic athletes can do collegiate gymnastics. Am I correct? Because of the NIL deals.
Well, I know that some of the national team members went back to college after their Olympic careers, but I don't know.
Did gymnastics in college?
Yes. But I don't know if it goes both ways. Yes. But that means they would have had to keep their amateur status. So they couldn't have been getting deals along the way.
Yeah, because this is the first year that I've seen like Suni and a couple other of the gymnasts have like come back to gymnastics to college to do it. So anyway, so like many moons ago, there was a whole thing with UCLA many moons ago. And we've talked about this on the podcast before, but there was a UCLA gymnast who like went insanely viral, like insanely viral for her floor routine and was compensated nothing.
Right.
And she, when she graduated, she like wrote a book of poems or something. And so then she started talking about like NIL to sort of like get back into the news, you know, so she could sell her book of poems and stuff. But she was one of the first that I heard like athletes that I heard saying like they're not just making money off of ticket sales. They're making money off of like YouTube and stuff like that.
Clicks and impressions.
Yeah. Yeah. Because at the time that she was there, even if she would post it to YouTube, she couldn't monetize her YouTube.
Yes. Right. Right.
And so now at this point, it's like Suni could, I'm sure Suni has a YouTube that she monetizes. Right. So it would be, I think that it would be beneficial for Auburn. She's at Auburn, right?
Auburn. Yep.
For Auburn to like, basically like retweet her basically to try and like get her more views and stuff. But
I don't know. It's interesting because that's one of those Olympic sports that when it's on during the Olympics, I mean, everyone's paying attention. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
And college gymnastics is so fun, particularly those marquee programs.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It should be on more. Yesterday, my girls after the South Carolina UConn game, bowling was on Fox Bowling, and they sat and they watched it. And I just was like, why are we watching nothing against you bowlers out there, but there you have these incredible gymnastics meets that should be on TV. That's the bottom line. Speaking of,
and I will say, go ahead. Oh, I'll say like the floor routines go. Suni's like main thing is bars. Mm-hmm. So maybe bars won't go quite as viral, but I would watch it. But this
one did. I mean, the one she did, the Perfect 10 one did.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Iowa State took first place in the Texans women's tri meet over the weekend. But the real headline here is that they will be in Hilton Coliseum on Sunday for the Beauty and the Beast collaboration with Iowa State Wrestling. That's a really cool event. Nice. Check it out. Take your kiddos. Do it.
Nice. I have a little notey note. Do you want to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
The NCAA D1 swimming championship tickets for both the men's and the women's events sold out.
Hey, where is it? Do you know?
In less than 5 minutes.
Are you serious?
Yep. They went on sale to the public on January 24th. Men's tickets apparently became available earlier on Tuesday, January 31st, and sold out in less than 5 minutes. Both of them sold out in less than 5 minutes.
Wow, I would not have expected that.
I know. I don't know where this doesn't say where it is, but isn't that pretty cool?
It is cool. Unexpected.
Love to see it.
Just a reminder that the She Believes Cup for women's soccer, the U.S. women's national team is next week. USA plays Canada on February 16th, Japan on the 19th, and Brazil on the 22nd. Every game this year of the She Believes Cup is on HBO Max, not just the U.S., every game. But the U.S. versus Japan and the U.S. versus Brazil are also going to be on TNT if you don't get HBO Max. So some high-level soccer right around the corner. And in 2 days, on the 8th, the National Women's Soccer League schedule is finally getting released. So we can see when our current play, Elisa.
Speaking of soccer, the Women's FIFA World Cup opener has been moved to a 83,500 capacity stadium to meet a high ticket demand.
No big deal.
No biggie. It's Australia's Women's World Cup opener against Ireland.
It's pretty great.
They were in like a 42,500 seat stadium, but they had to move it because the demand was too high.
I think it's Ireland's first appearance.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. It's a exponential growth right now.
Insanity.
Unrelated to anything for women's sports.
Yeah.
Why is Tom Brady posting semi-nude pictures of himself on a Monday morning? I didn't say I wanted that because I can promise I don't. I didn't consent to that on my timeline. I was just drinking my coffee and what the hell? What is he doing?
That's some Wednesday afternoon shit right there. Shoot, let me put in the... Okay, Jared, I'm so sorry. I swore at 47:45-ish. My bad.
Blame Signed Tom Brady.
Steph. Okay.
Honestly,
that's a hump day thing. He should have waited.
It's a no day. Look, I want Tom Brady out of every. I've had my Tom Brady quota. You know what? Here's the thing. Full. It was full a while ago. He kind of he was redemption tour when he threw the trophy to Gronk, like you already referenced. I was like, okay, this is a looser and more fun Tom. I think I can get behind this Tom. And then he tanked it.
Yeah.
And he went into crabby midlife crisis Tom, who now is showing us basically naked pictures that we don't want to see. Like, I don't want it. Why?
I may be in the minority, but I don't really want him to replace Greg Olsen.
You are not in the minority. That is a widely held feeling. And I feel very strongly in agreement with you. He's going to be boring as hell.
He's going to be so boring. And Greg Olsen
does a good job.
Guys, let's all sit down and think about this. Think about Tony Romo.
I used to like Tony a lot, and then things got weird. Now he's just...
Think about weird... Oh, man.
He threw it far. Like, what?
Think about the people that you guys don't like. Think about Chris Collinsworth. Think about Joe Buck.
I like Joe Buck, but I know that's not normal.
Guys, he's going to be so bad. He's going to be so boring.
So boring. Tom Brady is boring. He's guys, always been boring. He
has never had a Cheeto puff in his. Okay, that's not true. Maybe when he was in college, I've seen his.
He hasn't combine. Had a Cheeto puff in the last 10 years.
He is in the last maybe more.
He, I bet he has
maybe in the last 20.
We know
years.
He had some tequila in that celebration.
He ate the worm. That's for sure.
It was weird. I was very uncomfortable. I didn't want it. I need him to be gone. I don't want him to be in the booth. I just need a break. I need a Brady break.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just had to get that out.
Here you
Which city has hosted the most Super Bowls?
Arizona. Wait, that's
not
a
city.
Phoenix. Dallas.
Miami. 11 with 11.
The city. What is Miami? The city of
vices. Which city will host in 2024?
Dale. That was you just went. That's my impression of what's his name with the bald head?
There's
somebody
a lot.
Screaming at me.
What are you talking about?
There's Pitbull.
Pitbull. Isn't he from Mr. Worldwide? Yeah, he's from Miami.
Yeah. Anyways, that was my impression of him. What was your question? What did
Can you
say?
Do the impression again?
Dale. My computer is going to die, Steph.
Okay, I'll go fast. Which city hosts in 2024, the Super Bowl?
2024, Atlanta.
Las Vegas. Name one of the four teams that has never played in a Super Bowl.
The Jets.
No, the Lions.
The Washington football team. What are they called now?
The Commanders?
The Commanders.
No.
No?
The Lions.
Well, you're going to say the Lions.
The Browns, the Texans, and the Jags. What is your prediction for this year's Super Bowl?
I think the Eagles will win by 3.
I had the Chiefs winning by 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 2017 is my prediction. Chiefs win.
Oh, I think it's going to be like 23-26.
Okay. Do you have any food plans?
I would like to make a stadium out of empty cereal and soda boxes, but we don't eat very much cereal and we don't drink soda, so I guess I ran out of time to do that. So no, I don't have any food plans.
My only food plan as of now is to make football shaped whoopie pies, because that's what I made when the Chiefs won last time, and that's what started this whole shindig at our house with the Chiefs, so that's
fun.
Okay, anything else?
No, I don't have anything else.
Okay, I just want to say one quick one quick
thing. I gotta send you an Instagram. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, one quick thank you to everyone who attended and contributed to the We Will event last week. It was a huge success, and really proud of everyone for contributing to something that is here to stay, because like it or not, NIL ain't going anywhere. So thanks to everybody and the Cyclone fans for always stepping up and being amazing.
And shout out to Steph and then friend of the pod, Brooke, for doing such a good job.
Thanks. It'll be the first of many, and Elisa will get you to one of them soon.
Someday. Arnold
Someday.
Had to work late. Sorry.
When I'm da da da.
Oh, I heard a little
falsetto
in there. Wait, what's the thing when you go
vibrato?
I heard a little vibrato in there.
Vibrato. All right, this is going off the rails.
Yeah, my computer is gonna die.
Okay, go Cyclones.
So stay.